I'm going to call to order the Policy Advisory Committee meeting of the Kituit Fire District, meeting of Tuesday, January 7, 2020, at 5:30 p.m. at Freedom Hall. Can I get a roll call, please?
Adam Zeiss.
Jackie Mastro.
Cynthia Gardner.
And Sylvia Janelle. All right, moving forward to the third topic of our meeting today, it's the discussion of policy proposals brought forward by the committee members. We, at our previous meeting, kind of went over what the intent of this group was, came up with a couple of good ideas. Members of the public were able to weigh in and also provide their feedback. So if anybody has something that they have thought of and they want to share with the committee, please go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I promised to do was to go find out what other districts have done, and I did that. I did not get calls back from anyone during the this time, but I did find that Calm and West Barnstable had, based on documents they have on their websites, had at least attempted some kind of, hey, let's come up with a plan kind of thing. Interestingly, mostly the plans were related to the fire stations, you know, building a fire station. So there wasn't really anything that said, okay, and I wasn't around when Calm became Calm, so I don't know what kind of plan Marston's Mills and Osterville and Centerville might have gone into in terms of merging. But so there wasn't anything that really said, hey, how might we as the fire district do things, you know, now and out into the future, et cetera, other than the fire, other than, you know, buildings. So it seems that the definition of the strategic plan has been not broadly written so far, as I can understand. I did not have a chance to do what I was hopeful to do, was to go and review all our documents. I will continue. I will take that on as something that I'll continue to attempt to do. Although there's nothing that we've published that as a fire district that you really talk about, you might define or describe as a plan. So,
okay. Anybody else? All right.
So what are we looking at?
So what I did is, without knowing whether the district has a policy or not, I kind of made an attempt to write a capital improvement plan policy. And as you can see, it's about 2.5 pages long. That, you know, you're welcome to take home, digest, review, add, subtract, whatever you feel like it doing. And we can discuss at the next meeting, along with any other proposals that anybody else brings forth. And then I also did a half a page at the end of what I called a district management plan policy. And that's just the results of the governance study that was done in 1999, I believe. There were 3 or 4 recommendations, and I don't know if that's been put into policy to implement. So I kind of just took those recommendations, summarized them into what I would consider clear policy that hopefully will achieve the goals of this study. Because if we went through the effort of going through that study and not implement the recommendations, I mean, it's never too late to do that, even if it's 20 years later. So if, as part of your research, Adam, you find out that we do have those policies already, then, you know, good. But if not, then I say this would be a good starting point.
None of these 4 bullets remind me of anything that's in the bylaws currently, as far as I can see.
But besides our bylaws, we really don't have a place where all our policies are stored that anybody could go friendly look.
Mm-hmm. No, what I meant was, nothing at least manifested as by bylaws suggests that some policy effort has become a bylaw.
Right.
There may be something in limbo somewhere.
Correct.
But no one would know because unless you went through, because there's no like place like on the website that has all the district's policies and procedures, which would be a great thing.
A great policy to
have.
There you go. So that's a good recommendation.
I guess my question would be, do the fire commissioners not have policies within themselves and the water department not have policies within themselves?
Yeah, well, yes, but I think, for example, a policy to review the efficacy of its governmental structure every 5 years, for example, for the fire district, that's a superset, if you will, of the water department, the credentials committee, and the fire commissioners. That's not a stated policy of the fire commission.
And there's no policies and procedures that I'm aware of that the Prudential Committee has.
Correct. So, and like Cynthia said, most towns or municipalities that I know of, you have a central repository for these policies that people can access. We have our bylaws. Might as well put them up on the website right below the bylaws where everybody can read
them. Well, looking at the other five town, or the other four in the town, I did not find anything that, I couldn't find any sort of strategic plans that, mm-hmm. that encompassed something beyond a station mm-hmm. build. There wasn't anything that I could find that talks about policies, mm-hmm. other than the fact that they have bylaws.
Right. And I think, maybe that's one of the vestiges of the districts being so small, too. And to put it frankly, the fact that some of our methods of government are antiquated and need to be updated. So maybe that's something prevalent amongst all the fire districts. But at least before we even get into a strategic plan, which could be something major, I kind of was on Tom's recommendation, as a matter of fact, because we were talking about certain things maybe were getting too broad, too ethereal for people to understand, and he had a great point of saying we should make this clear and concise. So instead of calling it a strategic plan, I basically said, what are the two important things in running this district? One is having a long-term plan on how we're going to borrow, bond, et cetera, to do our capital improvements, and the other one is to look at our government style ever so often. Most towns do a charter review every 5 to 10 years. So we could do that. It's something that was also, again, part of the governance study that said that we should look internally. We should, the second step, I think, it was to develop a relationship with the other fire districts, then to develop that relationship with the town. So basically go step by step. And that's all included in the summary that I did for those four steps for the district management plan policy. And then for the capital improvement plan policy, to me, it's impossible for not only the treasurer and the members of the finance group of the district to make good decisions without knowing what the long-term plan is. The residents themselves can do it. If we go to a district meeting, and we ask them for $100,000 to borrow for something, well, how is that going to affect us 5, 10, 15 years down the line? That's where a capital improvements plan comes in. And that's where I feel that it's important that it's a jointly district-wide capital improvement where water, fire, everything, the replacement or rehabilitation of this building, which is part of what the Prudential Committee does, all in one capital plan, because the district residents do not differentiate by departments. Their taxes, affect them regardless of which department's doing the work. So a joint capital improvement plan that paints that picture for our residents is something I feel that is important at the time of an annual district meeting when they're going to vote for that. So in summary, that kind of explains the wording that I use for the capital plan, and then, specific other things, like, for example, what's considered a capital improvement, what is not, considerations to have when putting a capital improvement plan together or a capital request, including, for example, operating costs associated with that capital plan, which sometimes people don't think about that, but there's operating costs associated with doing certain capital projects. So, again, just this is for review. Take it home. Take as much time as you want to add or subtract or make any comments, and we'll go from there. But I think this is a good first step, at least financially, to head in the right direction.
Yep, I agree. Good work.
Thank you.
When was this 21st century governance study done, and by whom?
I think it was in 1999.
And it was done by former treasurer, and I can't think of his name right now.
Okay. It's on the website.
Yeah. What's his
name? I forgot. Yeah. It's funny.
The guy,
Mike something.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
But what's his name?
Mike.
Daly?
Daly. There you go.
You see him? So yeah, I think it was fascinating. It talks about, and when I first started in the district, it talks, I read it a little bit, and it talks about, options for additional sources of revenue. And one of them was that as part of our legislation that created the district, we have the option to create a police force, which is pretty interesting. And that was, outlined in the governance study as one additional option to create a source of revenue by having police. So you learn a lot by reading, and there are little quirks from the district.
Well,
so it's a great read.
That yeah. There were people wanting to succeed from the town of Barnstable.
Yeah. So about 165 pages, but it has a lot of good stuff in there. And to summarize it again, those four bullet points is tough, but thank God he made recommendations at the end, and I just kind of try to take those recommendations and summarize them.
So does anybody recall this coming up? I certainly don't. I wouldn't have gone to a meeting until I moved here. So that's only 4 years ago.
No, this is another thing that we financed, had done, we paid for, and gets put in a drawer.
Yeah, so
that's why I knew it was out
so
there.
So you remember voting for money to do this?
Oh, yeah.
And so there was a group that did this?
We voted to hire this firm.
Yeah.
To have them do the study.
Yeah.
And the study was done, and it was presented at a meeting, and then it went into a drawer.
Well, and again, that's one of the things I would love for you to follow up on and find out if anything
came
out.
He did it through his company before he did.
So yeah, we're gonna find out, and hopefully, we don't know. I don't know personally. Maybe again, you've been here longer than I have, and I'll trust your judgment. But Adam's just gonna look into it more. Maybe hopefully some policies came out of this, and like you said, maybe they're in a drawer somewhere. I don't know.
Well, these are recommendations, yeah. It doesn't. Like I said, it doesn't appear that they've bloomed into anything else.
Yeah, and if they didn't, then good. We can put it forth to the committee, and hopefully they get adopted. Because I think they're good ideas. I mean, somebody took the time to do this, put in a lot of effort. Again, 165-page report, very detailed. There's no reason why we shouldn't look into implementing those policies.
I read 123 pages of the document, retention policies of the state.
Yeah, that's fun. All right. Any other comments?
I just have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Came up at your last meeting. Is there any risk? I know, like I said, I don't know where there's any policies or procedures all in place that you can look it up. But as a taxpayer, we vote to spend a large sum of money on a project. And then that project doesn't go forward, or the money left over. I'm don't understand how we can just spend it on whatever we want.
So
I was wondering, because it seems like the treasurer doesn't give a straightforward answer of how that happens, and I was just wondering if anybody could explain that to me.
I think, I would say that in our Prudential Committee meetings, last one, as a matter of fact, he actually brought up a lot of projects in their status, and they're ongoing, or the work was done, but there's money left over, and we're going to reappropriate or close it or whatever. So he kind of does give a bit of an explanation. But my thing is, and that's part of this capital improvement plan.
Well, when you look at what he says and you look back at the report, they don't jive. And that's what you can't follow it. I mean, you can't say, okay, he said this account had this much money in it. Mm-hmm. You look at the budget report for that month and you would say, okay, there's the account and there's the money.
Mm-hmm.
There's no matching, so it's hard to follow, and I was just wondering.
Well, I'll have to look into that, but again, in the last meeting when the report
that
he did.
Can you do that, though? That's what I was wondering.
What's
that? I don't see in our bylaws that says that you can just ask the district, looks like this is $100,000 to put a new curtain up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we voted as district residents and put $100,000 to put a new curtain on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 years goes by and there's no new curtain on the stage. You can just use that $100,000 for something else.
I wouldn't assume so. But I would assume they were designated funds.
Well, my understanding is...
I guess I don't town accounting.
No, and no, so, again, and the district may have different rules, ergo, you know, the Prop 2.5, which I looked into, and you're right, it's actually in that report that I was mentioning from 1999. It says it doesn't appear that the district has to follow Prop 2.5, but it hasn't been confirmed, but yeah, you are correct. But... regardless of that, my understanding in municipal finance law, and again, I've taken classes of this, is any appropriation made for a certain purpose can only be used for that purpose. So you can't, the only way you can take funds that were appropriated for a certain purpose is to go back to the district meeting and reappropriate it for a new purpose.
But that's
well, I'll give you a public comment.
Except in many cases, there's an explanation for a cost increase. It is not necessarily a specific project approval. So you'll get a budget approval, and the budget will say, we anticipate this much for that, this much for that, this much for that. But that money is fungible within those general budget items. If you go for a specific capital item
mm-hmm.
and get approval of that capital item, mm-hmm. then those dollars can only be used for that capital.
Well, that's what I thought.
Correct. So,
but
hold
that's
on.
What I'm not hearing when I go to the Prudential Committee meeting, so that's why I'm a little concerned.
So let me repeat what Jim
said.
So
in essence, if I'm getting what you're saying, if there's a definite line item in the budget, like give $23,957 to the library, that has to go to the library, or it goes back in the general fund.
So let me repeat what Jim was saying.
But,
that's correct.
But if we approve the entire fire department budget as stated, they can do anything within that budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me repeat what Jim was saying. Just for the recording. So what Jim was saying is basically, in summary, there's two types of appropriations. One's for your operating budget expenses, salaries, things of that nature. The other one's capital expenses. Within your operating budget, there's line items you can go up or down because they're estimates. But for your capital appropriations, you can only spend that money for that specific purpose that you appropriated it. If you want to, for example, you have a $100,000 project, you only spend $90,000, there's $10,000 left, you want to use that $10,000 for something different, you have to go back to the district meeting and say, I want to reappropriate those $10,000 for a specific project. So one of the things that the treasurer has done is there's these little pockets of leftover money in projects, and he summarized in some of our meetings that he was to take the sum of all those things and reappropriate them come the annual district meeting for another project. So, yes, it's hard to understand sometimes, but he is doing what Jim is saying. And if you look at this, the proposal that I have for the policy, there is a section that's called capital project closeouts, and that's exactly what it talks about. It's to memorialize what the treasurer will be able to do or not do based on specific situations. So it reads, the district will endeavor to close out all capital projects within 6 months of completion. We don't want them hanging in there. Or discontinuation. As these projects are closed out, the treasurer will do the following. One, for bonded projects with residual balances of less than $50,000, the treasurer will propose that the Prudential Committee approve applying the balances to debt service. So you have a project of $100,000. Again, you have $10,000 left. You bonded that. You're going to go to at district meeting, and you're going to appropriate those $10,000 to pay the debt service for that project. Number two, for bonded projects with residual balances in excess of $50,000, The treasurer will propose appropriating the balances for other capital projects. So in the event that you have $100,000, only use 50, you have 50 left, but you know you got another big ticket item that's going to cost, let's say, $75,000, what we're going to, what this policy is going to have the treasurer do is take those 50, reappropriate them in town meeting so that you only need to go and find, borrow 25 for this new $75,000 project. So it's efficient use of whatever funding you have left. And then the last one is number three. It says, for projects funded with available revenue, tax levy, or reserves, having residual balances, the treasurer will propose reallocating the balances for other capital projects or close the balances to the appropriate surplus fund. So that gives you three different specific situations. Two of them is when you have bonded and the project has a little bit of money left, goes to debt service. The second one is when you have a bonded project, but it has a substantial amount of money left, you reappropriate it to another upcoming capital plan project. That if you have a capital plan, you know what that project is going to be. And then the third one is for projects that were not bonded, then you either reappropriate it to new projects or put it back in the reserve fund. That way it's available for a future project. And that eliminates the, what is he going to do with this money? What is he not going to do with this money? No, there's a policy that tells you specific situations, this is what you're going to do, and that's it. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's clarity. So that's the important thing about policy. So hopefully, again, just take a look at this. It'll have different scenarios like that. If you think of other different scenarios that I didn't think about, by all means, please add them on. But, yeah, that'll help with your concern.
Because if you put it all in the reserve fund, right now you can spend the reserve fund without approval of the taxpayer. Because you guys, as potential committee members, can spend that. So that's a little area that.
You can, but you can only spend it for certain specific purposes. But, for example, revolving funds, maybe we create a revolving fund for, I think there's one for the fees for this building. So a revolving fund requires approval of the district meeting. So there's different types of funding mechanisms that we can do if it's going to be the policy of the district to go back to the residents every time we need funding. But again, by default, the definition of a reserve fund is a rainy day fund. If something happened, we need to access that. So if you have to wait to annual district meeting, you may be in trouble.
No, I don't have a problem with spending the reserve fund. I have a problem because we vote money to go into that reserve fund.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with if we allocate $100,000 for a project that we expect to happen, it doesn't happen, and that $100,000 ends up in our reserve fund. That's where I have concern.
Well, so read this carefully.
Oh, I know.
And it all seems very logical.
Right. All right. Any additional comments on that topic? Seeing none, we'll move out. Move up to other topics not anticipated by the chair. Anybody has any other comments of other topics beyond this?
The keyless entry that Cindy.
That would be a great idea. No, that's fine. All right, seeing none, we'll go to the approval of minutes for the meeting of December 4th, 2019. Does anybody have any comments? All right, seeing none, can I get a motion to approve the minutes of December 4th?
So moved.
Anybody seconds?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
All right, any public comment?
My only other suggestion is that at some point it would be useful to have a policy of the treasurer or someone else actually reporting to the district a clear indication of what the outstanding debt of the district is and what its amortization and payment terms are expected to be. And secondly, I think the one very confusing thing in the district financials, which I always hear questions about from people, is the ins and outs of the payment for retirement and other benefits for district employees. And I think it's a subject that there should be a policy that somehow there is an explanatory piece provided to people, because whenever we get to a meeting, it's very confusing. It's money coming from here and going to there, and the explanation we get is simply that's municipal law, which is not a very satisfying explanation, I don't think. It would be helpful to have a policy on communicating that to the public generally.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, lastly, I think there needs to generally be consideration to an overall communication policy. I mentioned at the last meeting that it would be useful to have all of the components of the district have common financial systems. But, you know, getting things posted more regularly on the website in a way that is usable by people, I think would be, you know, to everyone's benefit, because the less questions you have to worry about with people just not understanding the basic information, the more informed decisions you're going to get.
Thank you, Jim. Seeing no further public comment, I'm going to close public comment. Anybody has any response?
I think those are all well intended and well taken. And hear, hear. Make it so, number one.
Yeah. Another, Jim, again, you hit the nail on the head. One of the comments in recommendations of the governance study was to have a common accounting system. So I think that's something that we should definitely talk about. And
so we need to find that drawer.
And to me, another thing is the outreach. I'm a big fan of outreach. Again, I work in government myself. I know the importance of it. I just put together a capital improvement plan that I just got approved. And 99% of that was because I put a survey and I asked residents what they wanted to see on it. So it's pretty simple if you get the input from the residents for people to get behind your plan. Because the plan becomes not only yours, it's what needs to be done, but also what people want to see done. It's fairly simple. So maybe another member of the committee can come up with a little bit of an outreach policy that we can put together as part of this group.
Well, I mean, we should have a policy. It strikes me as a real head scratcher that in recent memory, the district just hasn't functioned that way. Unbelievable.
You should never go to a meeting and ask to have public comment and be told there's no public comment. Or you should never be asked to ask the question and be told, well, we don't have to answer that. Because all that does is set up suspicion.
Oh, suspicion. It's an adversarial climate. And those, in my experience, lead to bad places.
Mm-hmm.
So, was that a request of the committee to coming up with a? When are you going to transcribe these? Because
I will probably give them to Chris tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. All right. Cool. So,
because that would be something I would like to see, but I don't know if that's something this committee we can come up with a policy, but it's sort of something like bylaw that like all public meetings should have public comment at the beginning and at the end, because sometimes
that's a great thing. So maybe we should have like a resident outreach policy where we have all these things that we describe how we're gonna, you know, like Jim said, better explain things to people, but also have a policy where all the committees also have a moment of public comment. So that way there's no discrepancy of whether some committees are going to do that or not. It's the policy of the districts, so everybody else to do it. I think that's a great idea.
Well, as far as I knew, their public comment is a requirement of, I'll look into it, but of every... Personalities have developed, as you know, Cindy.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. We don't have any. There's no consequences of not following the bylaws.
And I think if we memorialize, well, there is.
I don't
you can pull people out.
Exactly.
that's how you do that. To be honest with you, if you don't like the way somebody's doing something, create some sort of campaign and vote people out. But also, we have to be mindful of the fact that as much as we want to do that, there's not a lot of interest in people running, but again, that comes with the outreach. Maybe if we had more outreach, if we were more open and explained to people how the district worked and things of that nature, we'd get more interested parties and people who want to run. So creating an outreach policy for our residents that is comprehensive, including all the things that Jim said, all the things that you said, Cindy, I think it's something good. It'll be memorialized, and then people can say, well, you know, is it a requirement? Is it a law or not? No, it's a policy of the district, and you got to abide by it. So I think this is a good opportunity we have to tackle that issue. All right.
But it's my understanding that you can, that we have the ability to put forward any policy we want, but isn't it up to the Prudential Committee to make the policy a policy?
Correct. Well, there's another committee that is similar to this called the Bylaws Committee.
Correct.
And so there's an organ of government that is designed for taking recommendations and making changes to, or adding to, or deleting, you know, making the bylaws.
But Jackie's correct. Yeah. And what she's saying, we're an advisory group that goes to the Prudential Committee, and then the Prudential Committee can make it a policy. But the bylaws is the same thing. The bylaws is an advisory group that makes or proposes new bylaws that the annual district meeting then votes on. So it's just a checks and balance system. But at the end of the day, I personally, if a comprehensive policy that makes sense comes in front of me and I have to, you know, vote against it, I better have all my I's dotted and my T's crossed. Because you can't just vote something because you don't like it. I mean, you can, but it's not being a good politician or elected official and serving your district. I think there'll be scrutiny if you put these policies forth and they make sense and it's vetted by a group like us, comes to my committee and my members say, no, I would personally think that's political suicide, and I wouldn't do it.
Well, I think maybe sort of a related topic to this whole discussion is that if a bunch of us make a policy recommendation, it goes to the bunch of you, then this precious little, if you will, input and communication with the village citizenry. Mm-hmm. So that it's with such a narrow group of people talking about policies, it isn't political suicide to say, I don't like this, you know, because the fallout from that is nearly non-existent.
Correct.
So I think it goes back to the thing, getting more people involved in this somehow, I don't know whether that's a fool's errand or not, but whether it's surveys or the civic association or more conversation about why are we talking about government structure? We're just a little village, you know, that kind of thing. To get those 40 people that vote.
20 years to talk about government.
Correct.
And but why is it important?
If these policies have more, to the extent that they can have or will have the light of day being seen by other people in the village, mm-hmm. the better off we'll be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, we got to start somewhere. I understand what you're saying. Right now, the framework we have to work with is very loose, and like you said, there maybe doesn't lead itself to accountability a lot, but then it's up to us to push it. It's up to
Would
us to push
possible?
It.
Would it be possible? That when we schedule our next meeting to maybe invite the Prudential Committee to come and see why we feel this is so important?
I mean, you could do that and they can not show up. I think
put it out there.
Yeah, but I think the way to go is to have solid policies that we discuss here and then go in front of them and say, this is what we have. I also think that the next civic association, we as a policy advisory group, after we have our final drafts, we go in front of the residents and we sell it to them. If we get their backing, then we can go to the Prudential Committee saying it's not only just us, we went to the residents and the residents agreed with it. This has some gravitas behind it.
The civic association meetings are a heck of a lot more vibrant.
Correct.
Than most of these committee
Correct.
Meetings.
So, I mean, there's ways to kind of just make our agenda be heard and gain some traction, hopefully, before we go in front of the Prudential Committee. So we can definitely discuss that at our next meeting. I like what you're saying, though. I see where you're going. Something that would
give us some responsibility so that everything we do doesn't go anywhere. I mean, so hopefully go somewhere. But yeah, we can discuss ways of doing that. Because I'm not here to waste my time either.
Yeah. All right, so I have an action item that I'd look to see if there's been any thing other than drawer stuffing on this governance study. Tom said he's going to look at other long. He and I were doing the same thing, or I don't know whether he did anything, but I like the direction of this, with the addition of what Jim has proposed, and that leads me to the next meeting. I'm just not going to be here in February.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So I was thinking myself that was going to be the next step. So thank you. I was going to say we should schedule a meeting for March. So if it's going to be the end of March, maybe for April. That gives us enough time to digest these policies, work on new... Yeah, April Fool's, that's funny. To perhaps come up with new policies and then just finally grab all those, bundle them up, and go forward. So how does April 6th work for everybody?
What day?
That's a Monday.
Yep, that's good for me. Will you be back, Jack?
All right, so let's tentatively schedule our next meeting for April 6th, 2020. I can't believe I'm saying 2020.
You know what you get to say all year? You know hindsight, 2020.
Never.
You get to say that all year. So.
Oh, my God. That's pretty funny. Never thought about that.
All right, so Freedom Hall, 5:30, April 6th.
Correct. Tentatively, if any changes occur, I'll send you all an email, hopefully. I don't know, maybe I can do that or not. So.
Can we communicate? It'd be great to have an opportunity to read the transcript of this.
Yep.
Between now and then.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to ask... Chris, I mean, usually when I've asked her in the past, it takes her about a month because we meet monthly,
right,
so
right,
she
right,
gets
right.
It done before the meeting. So hopefully by the end of, what are we now, the 7th, so hopefully by beginning of February it will be all set. So that'll give us plenty of time to read this. All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.